Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7, beginning in verses 1. We'll go through verse 9. We'll read responsively in Luke chapter number 7, verses 1 through 9. Luke chapter number 7, 1 through 9. We'll start in verse 1. The Bible says in Luke chapter 7, 1 through 9, says, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying, that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with him, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter unto my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the time we were able to gather together on this Sunday, Lord. Father, I pray you just be with the services today, Lord. Father, I pray you be with preacher, Lord, as he comes and brings the Word of God to us, Lord. Father, I pray you will prepare our heart for the message, Father. I pray you just give him power and strength. Lord, just give them a great service today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. While they're all getting settled, that's okay.
I got it.
Super. Everybody look at me, not them. All right? Even though they did a great job. Thank the Lord for that. If I could borrow your brains for about the next 30 minutes, for some of you, it'll be the first time it's been loaned out. But others, I really need you to think with me for a little while with this sermon. It's going to be contrary to what many have ever been taught, because most people don't teach what God says. They teach what everybody else says. And I want to help you. Jesus is in a place called Capernaum, meets up with a centurion, a soldier from the military. He had a servant, one of his dear servants, that fell sick, and he had heard that Jesus was in town and heard that Jesus was healing people, and he said, hey, let me send a couple of you fellas out and go get this Jesus fella because he could heal my servant. I want him healed, so if he can do it, let's go do it. So he sent his friends out, his friends went out, and said to Jesus, look, our friend, our centurion friend, has asked us to come and for you to be here so that his servant could be healed. And by the way, our friend is worthy of it. He said, the Bible says there in verse, five, he said, for he loveth our nation and hath built for us a synagogue. He said, look, he's not only a patriot of our country, but he's a spiritual man that wants his friend healed. Now, Jesus is intrigued, and Jesus seems a bit unconcerned about the sick man and wants to meet the centurion. Bible says, well, take me to him. So they start walking towards the centurion's house, and when they get, pardon the expression, in the neighborhood, word's coming that, hey, Jesus is coming to the centurion's house. And the centurion got a little bit, not upset, but he says, hey, send word and tell him to go talk to my friend. I'm not worthy that he should come to my house. But matter of fact, he said, all he needs to do is speak the word. So the man goes out to meet Jesus, and he says, look, is all you have to do is speak the word. He said, I am also a man under authority, and if all you do is speak the word, then my friend could be healed. You don't have to go see him, just say the word. Amen. Wow. Jesus makes one of the sweetest, most powerful statements in the entire Bible. He says, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. It is said of no other person in the Bible, that statement. He said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. Jesus saw and understood how much faith this centurion had. Jesus saw it was out of love for someone else, not of selfishness for self. Faith is not some mystical potion to get God's attention. Faith is not some supersized power of positive thinking mentality. Faith is not something that is man-made. It is a gift of God given by the God of heaven to every human being. Romans chapter 12, you need not turn there. I'll read verse 3 to you. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has given to every human that has ever been conceived, by the way, conceived, not just born. God has given to every human being who has been conceived a measure of faith. Well, what does that mean, preacher? It means he gave every human being enough faith to get saved. You see, the Bible says that it is a gift of God given to every human being on the face of the earth. Now, here's the thing about it. It's up to you what you do with the gift. Brother Dorsey, stand up for a second. If I had a gift for Brother Dorsey, I don't. And I'm not going to be like God and give it to him to keep. But if I had a $20 bill as a gift for Brother Dorsey, and I don't, it's just an illustration. Got that? All right. See, he's learning quick, isn't he? If I had a gift for him and said, here's a gift, I'd like you to have it, he reaches out and takes it, right? By the way, I don't have enough to give to everybody. I'm going on vacation. My wife's already spent it all. Can I tell you something? It's up to him what he does with the gift. He can invest it, not going to get much. He can go out to eat, might last halfway through McDonald's. He can go out and put gas in his truck, that would get him 4 gallons of gas. Y'all know what I'm talking. It's up to him what he does with that gift. But if I came to him and said, Brother Dorsey, I have $20 here. If you'll listen to me, I could show you how you'll never need money ever again by using that gift. It's up to him whether he comes to me and says, I'll listen to you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Can I tell you something? Man takes the faith that God gives him, and we choose whether we give it back to him to do what he says or we spend it on whatever we want. Thank you, Brother Dorsey. I need my money back. The centurion knew that Jesus would heal his servant from anywhere. He said, I know you have the ability just to speak the word, and he could be healed. He said, you don't have to be near. You could say it from anywhere in the universe. Speak, and my servant could be healed. Can I tell you something? That centurion knew that Jesus' words were so powerful as all he had to do is speak it and it would happen. By the way, you say, how did he know that? Because he knew that Jesus was God. Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God spoke, and the waters were divided. And God spoke. God spoke everything in this world into existence. It did not evolve. God spoke it. His words were so powerful that God spoke it into being. It was formed by the words of his mouth. By the way, Jesus is God. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The same was in the beginning with God. In the beginning, God created. Now, listen to me very carefully. Jesus did speak the words, and his servant was healed. Matter of fact, they went back and checked and said, what hour did that take place? And it took place the very moment Jesus spoke those words.
Amen.
Jesus looks at the centurion and says, I have not yet found so great a faith, no, not in all Israel. Now, this was not some poor beggar. This was a man of leadership. This was not someone who, and don't think that I'm talking down about anybody, but this wasn't the guy at McDonald's pushing the French fry button. Beep, 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 beep. Oh yeah, I got to be a high paying job. No, I'm not against those jobs. I'd rather have somebody pushing a French fry button than doing nothing. But this was a man who had authority. This was a man who commanded troops. As the Bible says, this is a man who said, I tell people go do this and they go do that. I tell people go get this and they go get that and bring it back. He is a man that had authority, but it also says he was a man who was under authority.
Yes, sir.
Listen to this. Faith is not a commodity that you can purchase. Faith is not something we can generate on our own. Faith is not man-made. It is given by God and has to be used his way for it to work. Faith is not some positive thought that brings the genie out of the bottle to give you what you want. Too many people look at God as the genie in the bottle and, oh, I got faith and God's going to pop out the bottle and pow, I got what I needed. God doesn't work that way. Now let's look at faith scripturally for the next few minutes and let me tell you what God says about faith. Now, this is where I need your brains. I'm going to use thinking terms. So I need you to put your thinking caps on, boys and girls. You put something on your head, brother. Brother Randy is shining real hard here, all right? Yeah, the glare is getting rough. Yeah. Number one, faith is not logical nor illogical. Faith is not logical, but faith is also not illogical. Let me show you what I mean. Logic is the ability to reason or think. Logic is man thinking something through as man sees it. Logic is generated by us. Faith is not generated by us. Logic, because it's generated by humans, is tainted by sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man's logic is tainted by sin. How else do you think you could have the Sodomite crowd of today? The LGBTQ alphabet soup people. Folks, I'm not real smart. Got 2 college degrees, but I didn't need a college degree to figure out what bathroom to go to. My daddy taught me a long time ago, you look at the one with britches on, that's the man. Look at the one with the dress, that's the ladies. Son, you stay out of the one with the dress. No problem. Didn't bother me a bit. Glad I did stay out. Amen. It's really not hard, but that's not logical to human thinking because human thinking is tainted by sin. How else could doctors perform abortions and murder babies by the millions? Everybody's all up in arms that some of the states, I think 12 states, have passed bills now, and is now state law. Once you hear the heartbeat of a baby in the womb, it's now illegal to kill them. I think we ought to take it back a little farther, but thank God we're going a step in the right direction. It's a baby the moment it's conceived, not the time you hear the heartbeat. But if it's wrong to stop somebody's heart beating outside the womb, why is it okay to start it in, or take it when it's inside the womb? So faith is not logical. By the way, logic is what created the first sin of man. You go back to Genesis chapter 3, Satan was tempting Adam and Eve and said, Eve, it's a fruit that looks good, doesn't it? It smells good. It'll make you wise. You could be like God and decide evil and good for yourself. You wouldn't need God to tell you. And he used logic to break down the human population to sin just like he did. Logic is tainted by sin. Faith is not. Faith is not a sinner. It's given by God. It's perfect. Logic varies by the person. You all know what I'm talking about. Anybody in here that's been married or is married knows what I'm talking about. Men and women don't see life the same way. What's logical to a man doesn't make sense to a woman. And what makes sense to a woman, no man can figure out. Amen. Y'all know, come on, somebody say amen. There we go. Whew, leave me on an island by myself here, fellas. Yeah, ladies, sharpen your elbows. Can I tell you something? Human beings see things different in a logical fashion. From man to man, people see things differently. It was not logical, nor was it illogical, that that centurion said to Jesus, just speak the word and my servant can be healed. It doesn't make sense to man, but it made sense to God. It wasn't logical to say, speak the word. It wasn't illogical to go say, find Jesus, he's healed others, he could heal my friend. It wasn't logical, nor was it illogical. We have to realize that we don't think like God. Let me read a passage of scripture to you out of Isaiah chapter 55, verses 7 through 9. Let not the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, he will have mercy upon him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways thy ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen. That's God talking. Now everybody look this way. Can I tell you something? You are not God. We have a world full of people who want to play God. I don't care if they're religious. I don't care if they're political. I don't care if they're military. You're not God and neither am I. Amen. And the whole world ought to be thankful I'm not God. Say why? Because we'd all be dead. You see, you have people who want to play God. Can I tell you what? Our United States government has done. Government is trying to play God in everybody's life.
You're right. Yes, sir.
The more dependent we become on government, the less dependent on God we are. The more dependent we become on government telling us what to do, the less dependent on God we are. By the way, the more the government takes away from you, the less you can do for God.
That's right.
Thomas Jefferson said, any government big enough to give you anything you want is strong enough to take everything you have away.
Right.
Our sin wants us to view God by how we think instead of how God thinks. Difference in this church and most churches is it's thus saith the Lord, not somebody getting up with a turtleneck sweater, sitting down having a little talk with Jesus. Folks, it's military chow around here. We flop it on the plate. Like it or lump it, just push it in the pie hole. You'll be okay. It may not taste good going down. It may not be the most pleasant thing, but it'll keep you going in battle time. Man wants to blame God for bad when man sinned, not God. Somebody will go into a school and shoot a bunch of people up and kill a bunch of people, or go into a government building and, A, we want to blame the gun. Did you know guns never killed anybody? It's people pulling the trigger? How about we blame the person, not the weapon? Should we get rid of all ball bats and sticks for the people that have been bludgeoned to death? How about we outlaw all knives? You know that more people are beaten with clubs to death every year than shot by a gun? You see, man wants to blame God when bad things happen. Here's what happens. They'll go into a school, shoot up a bunch of people, and here's what you say. Well, how could a loving God let this happen? You're the ones that kicked him out of the public schools 45 years ago. You took God out of the school. Now you want to blame God for not protecting your school? That's not logical nor illogical. Man's logic perverts God. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse number 25. Let me read it to you. This is in reference to the Sodomites. But it's applicable to every realm of life. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. Now listen to this statement. Animals have more rights than babies. We protect animals and murder babies. You let somebody run over one of the geese out here, and everybody's going to put you in the newspaper. But go down the street to the hospital where they're performing abortions, and everything's all right. I have a problem with a little goose that has more rights than a baby. I have a problem with that. I'm not for just slaughtering all the geese. But if it comes between a goose and my kids, no decision to make. Kids one, goose zero. You see, we want to kick God out of everything so that man can, as the Bible says, every man does that which is right in his own eyes. So, number one, faith is not logical, nor is it illogical. Number two, this is the part that I need you to think about with me for a second. Since faith is not logical, since faith is not illogical, that means this: faith must be theological. The word theological means God. Faith is adding God to the equation. Logic is man's thinking. Theology is God's thinking. We don't need more of man's thinking. We need more of God's thinking.
That's very good.
Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. I have in my hands the recipe for faith.
Right.
It's the King James Bible.
Yes,
it's no other. It's not man's interpretation of. That's man's faith, not God's faith. You see, we don't need our thinking. We need God's thinking. We get God's thinking by the words of God. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We have to have an every word Bible, which is the King James Bible. The centurion understood the word of God because he said, Jesus, just speak the word and my servant could be healed. You see, Jesus said, I have not found yet so great a faith. No, not in all of Israel. Why? Because that was adding God to the equation, not man. It wasn't adding logic. It was adding God. The centurion knew. I love this. I'm about to have a spell, Brother Frank.
Preach it.
I'm about to come unscrewed, Brother Randy. The Bible says that this centurion says, I am also a man under authority.
Right.
Who else was under authority? Jesus was under the authority of God.
Amen.
You go to John chapter 17, Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, Father, they're thine, and all thine are mine.
Amen.
And he said, I've been under your authority. I've been under the power of the Holy Spirit. I've been living your will, your word. I've done what you've said. And he submitted himself to the authority of God. That gave Jesus the credibility and the authority to speak the word and the servant would be healed. That centurion understood what it meant to be under authority. He also understood the power of the words of authority. Folks, that Bible has authority. Man may not like it. Man may try to change it. But God's words are true. Let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
They're not our words. They're his words.
Amen.
Told you I was going to come unscrewed. Faith is applying the Bible or obeying the Bible in every part of your life. It's simple. Listen to this statement. The obstacle to your faith is not what makes your faith. It is the person of Jesus Christ and the words of God that gives you faith. It is not the obstacle that gives you faith. It is he who gives you faith. God hath given to every man the measure of faith. Well, I just don't think I have enough faith to get through this, preacher. If God is true, you did. God gave you all the faith you need. Matter of fact, he put it down in his word and said, just do it. I don't care how bad the problem. I don't care how dark the night. I don't care how deep the debt. I don't care how miserable the grief. God gave you the faith to get through it.
Amen.
Been through some pretty dark hours. Can I tell you something? I didn't know if my faith was strong enough. Matter of fact, I found out my faith wasn't, but I latched on to the power source that had all the faith available.
That's good.
It's not my faith, it's his faith.
Amen.
Remember the day when my son, my oldest, was 4.5 months old. They had rushed him to the hospital. He had pneumonia, bronchiolitis, asthma, and RSV all at the same time. They put him in an oxygen tent. We spent a few hours there. We went home to shower and get a few hours of sleep to rush back early in the morning. Hadn't been home 10 minutes. And the phone rang. It was a nurse from St. Mary's Hospital in Long Beach, California. She said, Pastor, she said, Josh is in real bad distress. Matter of fact, he's not breathing. We'll try to keep him alive till you get here. Please hurry. Whew. We're 2,000 miles away from family. How do you look at your new wife and a new mama and say your baby's dead? Not breathing. I said, we need to hurry and get back. Josh took a turn for the worse. She said, well, I want to get a shower first. I said, mm-mm. Let's go. Phone rang again. She said, I'll get it. I said, no, you won't. She looked at me. I said, let me answer it. The doctor called, asked my license plate number, model, and make of my car, and said, hurry up. Which way are you coming? I said, I'm coming 91 to 710, 7 Town, getting off on Long Beach Boulevard and flying to the hospital. He said, partway down the freeway, the police will meet up with you. Keep your four ways on. When they meet up with you, just give them the nod and they'll escort you. As soon as you get here, they'll take you right to your emergency room. Don't just leave your keys in the car. We'll park it. We've got to have your signature. That little 1986 Escort. Four speed. As fast as I could pedal that thing, we were flying. I had it 100 miles an hour. It's 12:30 at night. Going down 710 freeway. Here come the police with the lights on. The only time I never pulled over with one of those. He pulled up next to me. He went. And I snuck in behind him, and they had the streets closed off. They were shutting intersections down, and we were through town. They were literally pulling us out of the car. We jumped in an elevator. There must have been 17 people in an elevator for four people. We're signing papers. We don't even know what we're signing. We're just signing papers. The elevator doors pop open, and all these people start running down the hallway this way, and there we stood. One little nurse. That room right there is yours. We'll be back in a little while. Turn around and walked across to a dark, empty waiting room. Looked at my little wife and said, "Honey, I don't know if he's going to make it. But he was God's before he was ours. Let's just give it to God." And we got on our knees and said, "God, he was yours before he's ours. If you want him that bad, you can have him. But if you give him to us, we'll rear him for you. We can't guarantee anything, but we'll rear him for you. Oh, by the way, he's an assistant pastor in Miami, Florida, preaching the gospel." Don't want to go through it again. I didn't have the faith. But God gave it to us. God gave it to us. It's not the obstacle. By the way, it doesn't make sense. But it did to God. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We had seven doctors and nurses saved over that boy's body while we were in the hospital. Chased off a bunch of Catholic nurses too. Sister Fatbottom got out of my way. Is in a Catholic hospital. If you had a God, you can always understand that you are greater than your God. It just doesn't make sense to me, preacher, why God did this. If you could figure out everything about God, then you're greater than he is. You are not supposed to figure him out. Folks, nowhere in that book does it say, "Understand me." I can show you hundreds of places where he says, "Trust in me." Amen. Not one verse ever says, "Understand me." He said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." It's not going to make sense to the world. It's not going to make sense to you because your thoughts and his thoughts are different.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
Number three, and I must hurry. God has always kept his word. God always will keep his word. Since he is perfect, since he is holy, since he always keeps his word, then our faith should be in him and not ourselves. Who are you going to trust more, you or God? "Well, I trust God, preacher." Yeah, till the tough time comes. Then you want to blame him for what happened. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He authored it and he finished it. Shouldn't you trust the author of faith better than the reader of faith? Shouldn't you trust the one who wrote it versus your interpretation of? You see, by the way, since he authored it and since he finishes it, proves that we can't generate it. It's from him. As we use the faith God gives us, he replenishes it with more faith.
Amen.
When you went out and bought a brand new car, and they filled it up with gas at the dealership, when it ran out of gas, you didn't go back and buy a brand new car. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Say, what'd you do? You filled it up with gas. That gas tank was made to last a long time, but it keeps needing being filled. And the more you use it, the more often you fill it. That's the way faith is. God gave you a tank full of it, enough to get out of the dealership and get saved. As you use it, he keeps filling it back up. We need to quit trying to manufacture our own faith and trust what God told us to do.
That's good.
Talking to a man yesterday, I said, Doc, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? Oh, yeah, I know, preacher. I said, great, I do too. How do you know that? He said, because I'm trying to live a good life. I really have tried my best. I said, I believe you're a good man. I opened up my Bible and showed him 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. I went to Romans chapter 3, verse number 10. It says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. And verse 23, for all have sinned. He said, uh-oh. He said, I know I'm a sinner, but that's a problem, isn't it, preacher? I said, yeah, that's a real big problem. Then took him Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Proof we're all sinners, we're all going to die. But that death isn't just our body dying. It's death in hell, according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. That whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. I said, there's a penalty on sin, not just your body dying, but your spirit and your soul for eternity. I said, let me ask you a question. If you could get to heaven by being good, why did Jesus have to come and die on the cross? He was with me. The guy says, I don't know. I said, how good do you have to be to get there? He said, I don't know. I said, so can you get to heaven by your good works? He said, I don't think so now. I said, so the question is, how do we get there? He said, yeah. I went to Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in the heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, Doc, it's not what you did, it's what Jesus did for you.
Right.
He said, that's all I got to do? I said, that's all you got to do. I bowed my head, he bowed his head, he prayed out loud and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior.
Praise God.
You say, well, how sincere was he? I find nowhere in the scripture where there is a sincerity barometer. He was willing to act upon the faith God gave him.
Yes.
He got done, he went, and we talked a while. He was like a new married guy. He was just giddy. 38 years old and just kind of giggly almost. You say, why? Because he finally came to a realization of a truth.
That's good.
I said, Doc, if you died right now, where are you going? He said, heaven.
Amen.
I said, if you died 20 years from now, where are you going? He said, heaven. I said, sounds like you know it. He said, I do. He said, you're the first person to ever show me what the Bible said about that. Can I tell you something? Not my words, it's his.
Amen.
I didn't save him, Jesus did. We need to quit trying to manufacture faith by what we do. We need to let our faith be what he tells us, not how we see it. I'll say this and I'm done. Faith is a true gift of God to all. It is dead until we get saved, because it is a spiritual gift. It's dead. Now listen to this. This is why the lost world can't understand faith, because their spirit is dead. To the lost person, it does not make sense. But that moment they come to the realization of a truth that they're a sinner on their way to hell, that Jesus paid that price, and by faith they're willing to receive it. The moment they do that, faith becomes sight.
Yes, sir.
Faith becomes reality.
Amen.
I'm looking all over this auditorium of people that 6 months ago, a year ago, faith didn't mean much to you. Look how faith changed your life.
Yes.
Brother Donnie, I believe you're married today because of faith. Brother Fred, you almost died on us 3 times and went to hell. But you're still with us today.
Praise God.
Because of faith.
Amen.
I can go on and on and on and on. In other words, this. First thing you got to do is get saved. Man, I broke my pulpit. A piece of wood came out of there. Hit that thing a little too. I didn't crack it this time, just a little piece of wood. Can I tell you something? It's not your faith. Faith is not logical. Faith is not illogical. Faith is theological. And let me tell you something. You can trust God.
Yes, sir.
You can't trust man. You can trust God.
Amen.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Please give each and every person the respect they deserve. I wonder who would say, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. I wouldn't embarrass anybody. Wouldn't call your name. May not even know what to call it. I would not embarrass anybody. You say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure, but I'd like to know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you just slip your hand up for a moment? All right. God bless you and you. Thank you. I wonder, is there somebody here that say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon today, something I needed. It was what I needed. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. Thank you. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano begin to play. When the piano begins to play, if you raised your hand, how about you come forward, kneel at an old-fashioned altar? If you raised your hand and said, preacher, I don't know for sure. I'm going to heaven when I die. It's real simple. If you'll just step out, if you're a man, I'll have a man take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. 2-3 minutes and you're done. If you're a lady, I'll have a lady take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. It's very simple. You've already heard the gospel. You just have to act on it. If you raised your hand and said, preacher, there's something in that sermon I needed, how about you come and kneel at the altar and get it today? If you've been saved and never obeyed the Lord in baptism, we could take care of that today. You just come forward at this time. If you've been saved and baptized, and you'd like to join our church, we'd love to have you. You come as well.